Well, thanks for joining us here at Great Hearts Table, and thanks as well for the encouraging words many of you have sent my way. I write with pastors in view, so if you know any who might benefit from joining us here, do let them know, but I'm discovering that many of you who have found the content thus far helpful are not pastors. Well, I say more the merrier. I'm glad to have you as well. Pass an invite on to others, any whom you might know that might find this of value. And either way, if you have a few moments and could post a review on your podcast source, I'd appreciate that as well. In this post, I'd like to think about the diverse square pegs that God calls to fit into the curiously round hole called ministry. And in so doing, I'd like you to meet Pastor Puddleglum.
Oh, my favorite people are broken. Believe me, my heart should know.
Puddleglum is a marshwiggle. If you're uncertain what marshwiggles are, you really should make some room in your schedule to read C.S. Lewis's The Silver Chair. Upon his first appearance, readers immediately have a sense of Puddleglum's view of the world. He says, "I'm trying to catch a few eels, to make an eel stew for our dinner, though I shouldn't wonder if I didn't get any, and you won't like them much if I do." You see, nothing bad would happen that Puddleglum will not have worried about long before, and that things would always end tragically, Puddleglum was certain. Puddleglum could outlast Disney's Eeyore in a woe fest without batting an eye. Perhaps you know the type? Some of us are the type. We wear this wariness like Kevlar. If we're persuaded that things will end badly, the blow of eventual disappointment is softened. And of course, things end badly often enough for pastors to make Puddleglums of us all. But expecting the worst, then, can lead to thinking the worst. We move from things are bad to I am worthless with uncanny ease. And like many things, I suspect that this is nothing new. Early in my ministry, I was encouraged to look hopefully to the history of the Great Awakening, to think that something like this remarkable work of the Holy Spirit in the 1730s in New England could come to my 20th century church. Spearheaded by the preaching of George Whitefield, the Great Awakening was a revival so impactful that even a skeptic like Benjamin Franklin noted that, quote, "It seemed as if all the world were growing religious, so that one could not walk through the town in an evening without hearing psalms sung in different families of every street," end of quote. What we don't often consider is that not every church in New England was touched by this revival. What would it have been like to be slogging along week after week in an ordinary church when churches in the next town are exploding? I'm sure I'd soon be asking the question every small church pastor eventually asks, "What's wrong with me?" At the height of the revival, one influential Presbyterian minister took it upon himself to answer that question. In a sermon titled "The Danger of an Unconverted Ministry," Gilbert Tennant's answer was clear. In essence, he said, "I know what's wrong with you. You're not converted." Unsaved pastors are an easy target, but I'm guessing that Tennant's broadside bloodied many more than that. Every generation has those happy to tell pastors they are unworthy, unfit, and possibly dangerous. We're told that unless we pray more or see more conversions, preach more on the topics of the day, homeschool our kids, vote Republican, or whatever, we may be unfit for ministry. The church has never been short of those willing to tell us that we are frauds and imposters, and too many of us believe them. Sure, if you're one of those who bully and abuse your congregations, you need to find another career. But the rest of us need to resist these passing and often vacuous judgments. True, you might not be dynamic or charismatic. You might not be visionary or able to replicate the success of the latest movement. You might not fit the celebrated pastoral personality profile. But you are, on the other hand, you. And you are faithful to God and to His church, and the church needs you, square peg that you may be. I identify as a Puddleglum. If I didn't declare it, you would soon deduce it, I shouldn't wonder. I fear I'm too quick to remind my congregation of the hardships of the Christian pilgrimage, and too slow to speak of its joys. Happily, I serve with an elder who is my emotional opposite. John is irrepressibly bright-eyed. He wears his inner seventh grader on his sleeve. His impulsiveness counters my ponderousness. I once apologized to John, believing that what I called my Eeyore-ish tendencies must be a real downer for our church. John would not accept my apology, and the next Sunday I found on my desk a stuffed Eeyore sitting next to a stuffed Tigger. John told me how people like him need people like me. Tigger needs an Eeyore, and Eeyore needs a Tigger. You may not be all that the American Christian world says a pastor should be, but you are you. You are the you God called into this ministry, and his church needs you. Without you, the church does not thrive. With all his self-doubt, Puddleglum was faithful, clear-eyed, and courageous to the end. Puddleglum, you see, saves Narnia. You'll just need to read the book. Great Hearts Table is published on the first, second, and fourth Mondays of each month in both audio and print format. I hope you will email me with comments and questions so that I can better know you, and I hope you'll subscribe and encourage others to do so. Thanks for joining us at Great Hearts Table. I am Randy Greenwald, pastor of Covenant Presbyterian Church in Oviedo, Florida.
Just shy of breaking down, there's a bend in the road that I have found called home. Take a left at loneliness, there's a place to find forgiveness called home.